Freo deserved a good deal for Brad Hill. He's a very good player. He's got 2 years to go on his contract. He'll be massive for us under the roof here at Marvel. So we're happy to pay a good deal to get that done because it's the right thing to do to get a good player.
One of the big deals of the trade period done by the Saints and Fremantle, finally getting Brad Hill to Moorabbin to top off their haul of players as part of the trade campaign. Scotty Gullen was watching it all unfold with intimate knowledge and detail. Good morning, Scotland.
That sums up how I was feeling last night.
You see it clearly.
I do.
Did you forecast all this yesterday?
Well, a lot of list managers don't see it as clearly as I and make silly decisions. But St Kilda, you got to give them credit. We are on the march, and I tend to agree. That's what they said.
Oh, right.
No, not me. Oh, no, God.
I thought you were on board.
No. But good on them. They put it on the line, said they wanted to get 5 experienced people in, and they did. And it does elevate them instantly. I'm not saying they're going to play finals.
But does it?
I think it puts them into the mid-bracket quickly with the development of other young kids they've got. I know Josh Bruce, who's gone to the Premiers, is a good result.
I think a lot of people are forgetting that Jack Stephen is no longer playing at their football club.
But he didn't play this year anyway.
Jack Stephen. Yeah, but he's their best player.
Blake Akers is a pretty handy player.
Blake Akers is
a player. Give you Brad Hill. I know his price has been overblown a bit, but he is a solid conveyance underneath the roof. Paddy Ryder will help the kid, who's a gun, as long as he doesn't stuff Marshall up. Dougal Howard, nice, tall.
Dougal will be good.
And Zach Jones has got a bit of speed, and so has Butler. I'm quite happy if I'm a St Kilda supporter.
We'll chat to James Gallagher later on. They do lose, as you say, Bruce, Akers and Stephen, and they're not in the draft till pick 76. So they're a fair bit down the order, so to speak, remember, the Saints. But they got what they wanted. They went out and targeted what they wanted, and they got it. So
I think that's the point, is that they actually got the players that they wanted to bring in. So that's a win, but it is off the back of losing players.
It's a big shift in their list strategy. They were going after the big fish for a number of years, and they weren't able to land. So they thought, okay, let's spread the money out another way here, and we'll go after 5 players and try to fill the holes that we need that way.
And I think that's sound at list management.
Yep. Well, Hill, their
midfield, about that
a lot,
haven't we?
Yep. Was a bit of the same without Stephen at his best. So Hill adds something.
Yep.
Jones can play through there.
I think Brad Hill at Marvel Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Lethers couldn't keep, you kept mentioning
kept
the roof.
Mark,
the roof. 13 games. What? The draw hasn't even come out. No, he'll be here for 13 games.
I think
games.
Brad Hill on any ground, the way he runs is going to be effective.
5 years.
But Brad Hill, despite what he did at Hawthorn in regards to the premierships he won, he has clearly elevated his game to another level since going to Freo.
No doubt.
So he's going to be a very good player for St Kilda.
No doubt. And you throw in, we just touched on it briefly before, with King and Henry's got a preseason. Well,
McCartan might come back. We don't know.
Robertson's back. There's another one. Geary didn't play a lot of footy.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it does become
Caulfield
a much
and that
stronger
elevated
Hunter Clark and Caulfield.
They
are
elevated.
The two.
And then you got Marshall another year in here. So it's all of a sudden,
the Saints will be
good.
The hype team over summer.
I think they'll be the hardest team to peg of all 18 teams in the competition, St Kilda. I reckon.
I haven't looked that far into it, I must admit.
No, but because they're going to have a very different team, and there are players like a Paddy McCartan, etc., a Dylan Robertson. We don't know whether they're going to be able to come back and play. The new players coming in, the youngsters that they've got coming through, they are an absolute unknown.
They've given themselves a shot, which I like if I'm a supporter.
Sorry, Robert.
I think Geelong, Scotty, I think Geelong supporters can be happy. You lose Tim Kelly, which is it's a big loss. But if you get a fit and healthy Jack Stephen in for the next couple of years,
he's got a big couple of months, Jack.
Yeah, he has. And look, there's no doubt he needs to get himself right back in shape.
But I agree. And
I think this is step one.
Step
to
one, not
to do it. Well, yeah. No, step one, get him to Geelong.
The horizontal stripes aren't going to help his cause.
No, I agree. I mean, you're right.
Speaking from experience.
Kelly out hurts. They got a good draft haul, and then they've got Jack Stephens for nothing. Josh Jenkins, interesting. Look, if he's pick 41 on your list or whatever.
Can Hawkins, Radaglia, and Jenkins play in the same team?
I think they can, although it goes in the face of what they did this year. They changed it up and went small, and it worked. They got finished top of the ladder. So you don't want to... Radaglia is the key to all that. He's a star and needs to be... The role he's got at the moment's fine. You don't want him doing more ruck. It works. But I think, you know, Wiley Buzzer is not going to be there. If you've got Josh Jenkins there instead of Wiley Buzzer or someone to come in and play, I think they can find a way for him.
It's
I'm
a
not
good
against
point, I reckon, that about the strategy of what he does do to their to the way they look forward with the ball. Because, as you rightly say, Scotty, they changed the dynamic significantly and had a really good result from a home and away perspective.
Yeah, I don't think those three guys can play in the same forward line.
No,
together.
I tend to agree. I mean, and
Jenkins. Well, could he be reinvented?
That would be interesting. I mean, I like...
Sorry, just to cut you off.
Yes, he could.
But why is there such... There is this negative vibe about Josh Jenkins. Figures are figures. And, you know...
I know.
We talked about 261 goals in his last 119 games.
He just got tagged with, he kicked all his goals over the back
but
when
what,
Adelaide
but that,
was
flying. But wasn't that the way Adelaide played more
yeah,
than
I
the
know.
Way he played? Or, Ram, what's your view on Josh Jenkins?
He just doesn't take marks. I think that's all people say. He's 6'6" and 200 pounds.
I think there is that discussion about the way that Adelaide played through the
and
years
he fitted
he was
it
really well. Was perfect for him. And he maximised his opportunities and it obviously helped the team as well. Geelong play a very different brand of football
to
the Adelaide Crows. It's very slow methodical.
Particularly this year, they played a different brand of football.
But why can't he be adaptable?
Yeah, I agree. So, it's a challenge.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I was surprised that there was only one suitor in the end, and maybe there were a couple of others behind the scenes. But to me, if you take his contract out of play, of which Adelaide's actually paying some of
it, so that's not an issue now.
I found it interesting that he wasn't a more player in demand.
So he averages two tackles. So to talk about now the other parts of his game, you've spoken about the goals, Whitey, but if you look at the other parts of his game, he averages two tackles a game and five hit-outs a game. So that's
how many marks?
Five marks a game.
Playing under a different style, of course. Yeah. But
5 marks a game. And I think it's more around that contested style of mark that they want to take. Like you said, why he kicks a lot of goals over the back.
There's not too many players that can kick 62 goals in a season.
No, it's worth a punt. No
I agree with that. But those three will not play in the same forward line together.
No, I tend to agree with that.
The Premier's had a good period, Scotty.
The Premier's?
Your Premier's.
Oh, yeah, the Footscray Football Club. Yeah,
the Footscray Football Club.
Well, again, like St Kilda, they said, right, we want a key back and a key forward, and they kept pick 13. So I think they've come out
They've won it easily. Because they've kicked, not only have they got their first pick this year, but they've still kept their first pick for next year.
Johnny Ralph might need to reconsider the B+.
Yeah, he's overrated.
What's the highest grade he gave? He gave an A+.
Oh, people got A. Geelong got A. I mean, I reckon the Bulldogs went better than Geelong. Josh Bruce helps Shackey and Norton. Gold. Absolute gold.
Well, Norton can now play back.
No,
come on.
Andy Harper.
Norton has proven himself to be one of... He's an elite forward.
I'm
top five tall forwards in the comp.
I'm saying he has now...
He took 21 contested marks one day, and he's going to kick 10.
Aaron Norton, I don't think we'll be seeing much back time ever again.
So now Keith can play key back with Wood and all the other flexible. It's a good effort from
I think the Dogs have been fantastic.
I think did okay. Melbourne.
Explain why.
What happened to the Deuce? Let's just run
through
it.
Will they do anything funky with 3-8?
Because they did a lot of their stuff early and people forget what they've done.
So they've got Langdon and Tomlinson in. Sam Frost went out and they've got 3-8 to play with.
They were desperate for outside runs.
So they swapped 8 for 26 and 52 or something.
Only a C plus from the bus.
Yeah. I liked what Melbourne do. And I think so they gave away their future first round pick to get pick 8 from North Melbourne. So there's potential they'll get that back and trade 3 for 6 with GWS, and they'll also get GWS's future first round pick. So they'll get that back potentially. But they were desperate for outside run. Ed Langdon had a terrific year at Fremantle, and Adam Tomlinson's one of the fittest, most versatile players in the competition. So Adam Tomlinson could easily play on a wing, but he could just as easily play at centre half back and free up Jake Lever to play as that interceptor.
So almost replacing Frost.
Very, very different player to
but
Sam
Frost. Tall defender.
Taller.
What about
their
forward line? Walk me through
that's
their
probably
forward line.
That's probably the area that they didn't address.
But is a team that finished in a preliminary final 12 months ago to have two picks inside 10 in a draft
is excellent.
Is not a bad scenario.
So between now, do they do the deals and then on draft night they announce it? Or can they go, oh...
So you can continue what happens now. So you continue now to trade picks.
At any time, like next Tuesday, just send a fax in.
Yep.
Tomorrow. Oh, this morning they can do a few things.
They can, like, there was a lot of talk last night. there's a common area where all the where the trades are happening, where clubs are talking about trading picks over the next couple of weeks. Now, if they were desperate to do it because they needed it to get a player trade done, they would have did that last night. But I think you'll find there'll be probably half a dozen pick swaps over the next little period of time.
Because now they look at the draft and go, oh, we want that kid because we missed out on that. He fits
a little
it.
Bit of that.
We need your pick. Yep. Do you mind?
But if you look now, the Bulldogs, so they've only got pick 13. Now you have to have three picks in the draft. So they're going to have to potentially lose a couple of players off their list.
Was that it? Just the one? Mm. Oh, perfect. That's fantastic. One pick. And Melbourne's only got 3 and 8 and nothing else.
But you can upgrade a rookie player, and that counts as a pick in the draft. Okay.
So tell me, Rema, why did the Kangaroos do that deal with Melbourne?
It's a good question.
So in the end, they got Aiden Bonner late, had some knee challenges, but
that's not a bad pick.
I reckon Aiden Bonner can be a good player.
I don't disagree with that.
Mm. Good size.
Good size, but they got him out, and they've still got, and they've got 26, 27. 47,
and
50,
they got the,
and
they got the future,
got the future first.
First
round.
So they got 2 first round picks next year.
Is next year a bit of a compromise because of father sons?
Yeah, there's a lot of academy players next year.
So first round's not necessarily as good a first round as it possibly would be this year.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised North Melbourne gave up a top 10 pick in this draft.
Okay,
but isn't there top 2 and then a bit of gap for this year?
No, I think there's.
Oh, Tom Green goes to DDO. Yes, yeah, he's a good player.
No, I think there's comfortably 20 really, really good players in this draft.
Yeah.
I think it is. North Melbourne were very, very quiet through the trade period. I get the feeling that Rhys Shaw wants to have a year with a pre-season with the group and a year to see what he's got.
But I also think that was personnel-based as well within their list management team. So Brady Rawlings doesn't start at North Melbourne
that's
until
a good point.
1st of December.
Yeah,
but you can't not Michael make moves just because he hasn't had his feet.
Michael McMahon
desk.
Has been let go, but he's working. His last day is on Friday, so it was a tricky period for North Melbourne without the leadership of a GM of football.
No, it's a great call,
or a CEO.
In a lot of ways, their list management through this period was more about making sure that Goldstein and Higgins stayed at the football club. They were big things for them, very early on postseason.
Sometimes, if you hold your ground, it's a good result.
Mm.
Like North, I think North have got some really good young players.
Yeah, I agree.
And they were exposed this year, and a lot of people thought, North. But I thought get another top 10 pick in.
Yeah,
I think would have been a really good. Now they might they got 2 picks in the next year's draft in the first round, so they might come back into the first round at some stage over the next few weeks.
Oh, so they could trade futures now as well.
Yep.
Oh, okay, righto.
Yes.
But North is still looking for that. I hate using this word. They're still looking for their next franchise player, aren't they, though? That young star.
Marquee
player for the footy club.
They're not easy to find.
No, I know that, but not having picks early makes that a bit harder.
What happened to the Blues?
Oh, they're stinker. Your club stunk
it
up.
What do you mean?
I think they'll still get Jack Martin.
Well, they're running a bit of a risk. I don't know why they didn't do that deal for Jack Martin.
Well, I don't think it was their problem. I think it was a Gold Coast problem.
No, but initially they were only offering like second and thirds. The kid's got a bit of talent. If you want him,
he's out of contract.
They could have swapped 15 and 9 and other stuff.
Which they offered. They offered 15 for 9 or 9 for 15 and then a second future second and third, I think it was.
No, wasn't that the Gold Coast saying that would work?
No, the Gold Coast put the kibosh on it.
It's
disappointing. And I read somewhere today that it might have been even Tony Cochran pulled rank.
Yeah, a bit
the
of mail
CEO.
About.
Well, the president should not be involved in anything to do with trading.
Well, my understanding is that the boss had a say.
He shouldn't even know that this stuff's going on.
There was a bit of mail around that there were a few administrators that got involved in whether players left or didn't leave football clubs.
Let the cobblers cobble.
Yeah. Let the cobblers cobble.
I mean, seriously.
It's a sound methodology. But he was the barrier for Jack Martin.
Unless it's to do with one of your elite players, let them do their work. They know what's...
The deal seemed okay, though, didn't it?
I thought it was okay.
It did seem pretty good to me.
Future second, future third for Jack Martin. So that's equivalent to pick 13.
So sliding
for an academy
9 to 15.
Team, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sliding 9 to 15 first round too.
Well, that was never really in play because Carlton needed to save that pick for Papley at all. So it never really that was never really on the table. And well, Carlton were afraid if they did slide that Sydney wouldn't accept pick 15 for Papley in the end. So it was more the future second, future third, which is important to Gold Coast because of the academy points,
the points
for next year. There's a couple of Gold Coast Academy players coming through next year. So, like I said, that's equivalent to pick 13. So that's a lot of points.
Good player, Tom Papley, but he's become Lee Matthews in the last 4 weeks.
So, well,
they'll be very happy then, Sydney, to have him on the books.
The national draft, he enters it. He puts himself at risk, Jack Martin, that others...
Well, he doesn't need to go into the national draft. He can go to the pre-season draft. You can then put a price on
And Carlton's still going to have a top five pick.
Yeah.
In the pre-season.
It's not like he's got to get through 10 other clubs.
Well, you wouldn't think Gold Coast would pick him up.
No.
Well, at the moment, Eddie Betts and Mark Pitanay in and Phillips out isn't exactly a blockbuster effort from Bound by Blue.
But if they get Martin in...
They got Martin in
for free, and they got pick 9 as well. Still.
What other clubs would be interested in Martin? Would suit Martin?
Well, he'd suit a couple.
Melbourne comes to mind as a club.
Yeah, why wouldn't they go?
The Bears would be in the,
they've got to find money, though. Money's an issue for Melbourne. They've paid overs for a lot of people.
Mm. Right, well, there you go. Maybe that's
back
why.
Back in a contract for Jack.
Steve Silvani didn't seem too stressed.
No.
Yesterday as he walked out of the meeting.
It was a bit of a feeling of like the Sydney situation. Well, we've got another way to get him, so we don't need to really give up too much to get Jack Martin in because we have got ulterior motives or alternate plans.
So not in the end, at this stage, not a massive haul by the Bound by Bluers. No. But if Jack comes for free, then I reckon that's a pretty good result for them through this period. 21 past 7, Scotty Gullen's with us. All the latest news in footy and racing as well. We got the Caulfield Cup barrier draw last night. Gabe Waterhouse was up and about. I know you can't get enough of the Everest. I know you want to talk about that.
Is the Everest on, apparently. Yeah.
Well, that's up north. We've got
all the trainers going to be up there.
The Caulfield Cup down here. We're excited about that.
Caulfield Cup might be one. They'll be like, oh, where's the trainer? Different state.
Ooh. We'll talk about that after
Foreman.
This.
Be a foreman.
You might need to be a foreman at Caulfield on the weekend. Scotty Gullen back after this.
And that's very important in these big handicaps. And he's racing in great form. And every time he's run in Melbourne, he's just kept improving. And he can relax in the race. The blinkers were on today because we're coming back in distance. They're now in the dustbin, and he'll be like discarding your bra, you know, you just throw it aside. And so, look, it's a wonderful event. Isn't it great that we're all here tonight? It's so exciting, you know, and I think it's a wonderful thing by the club to have this initiative to put on the win, you know, you're in it, you win if you're in, you know, you're in if you win, you know, it's a great idea.
And you are in because you won, Gay Waterhouse. Yesterday with Wolf winning the Coogee Cup at Caulfield Blue Sapphire Stakes Day into the Caulfield Cup. And if you don't mind, Scotty Gullen from the Herald Sun draws barrier 5 with Bo Mertens on board. Just the 50 kegs on the back,
that's
for Bo.
The appealing thing. I mean, I love Gay. It shouldn't be winning, but 50 kgs is not a lot to have on its back.
No, doesn't
but
seem to be.
A lot of the favourites got bad draws. It was high numbers. A
lot of bad draws. Well, the emergencies drew 8, 3, 11,
that
and 12.
That helps.
So most of the good ones will come in 4 minimum. Or maximum, sorry. But 3 or 4 minimum for 3.
But Hartnell 17, Mirage
Finch.
Finchy hurts. Oh, yeah, Finchy 19 hurts. I was a bit keen on Finch. And I think 19 might hurt my heart a bit, remember?
Michael Walker, he can do magical things.
He can. Mr. Quickie, which is the local hope, and we know a few of the owners.
Is it your mate?
Mytho's in it, and Dr. Daz, another one of my people down there.
Dr. Daz,
a well-known Geelong surgeon. He's involved.
How long would it take you to get down to 50 kilos, Scotty?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I've been known to get on a program and probably... 10 years?
He's off field for the jockeys.
They're not starting at a high level.
I understand
it's not
that,
like they're starting
still,
at 85.
But even at that weight to lose a couple of kilos.
Yeah, I reckon going from 53 to 50 would be... Well, don't ask me. Ask our weight loss guru to my left.
Who was almost hospitalised in the process.
Paddy Cosgrave was saying the other day, I was talking to him about it off air in the green room we've got here at RSN 97 before he was hanging out with Blue Eyes, saying he needed to lose 2.5, I think, for the weekend. The first two's easy, he goes. First two, no dramas. Click the fingers, the first two disappears. The last half kilo takes forever. He, mind you, he's at Crown having pots and and burgers. He's enjoying the life at Crown at the moment, Paddy, but... he goes, it's always the last half kilo. It just kills you. So if you're getting a 50, I imagine that hurts a bit.
We're just looking through the jockeys here that actually are staying in Melbourne. So the big name jockeys, Oliver obviously is the headline act. Dunn, Walker,
all the Breble. Sydney ones aren't here. Basically,
Williams has still stayed down, not gone up for the Everest.
So like if Finch Damien wins, Lane, Waller's Lane, not going to be here. Lane. So I like the Everest, but and it,
well, Waller's
it
got
adds.
three or four riding in the Everest.
Slots everywhere, yeah. So does it take it away? No. Does it increase the excitement of the day? I think it does. I think people still love the Caulfield Cup.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't think it's losing any status because there's a sprint race up the other end of the country.
The Everest needs to find a standalone weekend.
They want a public holiday. They want to run a Wednesday or something. It was one
well,
of the
that's
latest.
Okay. I'm okay
yeah,
with
I
that.
Do that. That
go,
would be
go your hardest for that. Yeah.
No, but they're, have a great time. The reason the Everest is there is to try and dilute us.
I understand
is
that.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it is. That's why it was all set up. We want some focus on us, and to their credit, amazing job they've done. But the Caulfield Cup is still time-honoured.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, they're very different events, aren't they?
Yeah, well, exactly. Different horses, different everything.
The only what you're losing, perhaps, is some of the personalities, the high-profile personalities in the game, the jocks and the trainers that might not be on track at Caulfield on Saturday. But the $5 million Caulfield Cup is a very, very
it's
appealing.
That and it's that with the combination of less focus on one place.
Yeah.
And this is what Matty Stewart and Michael Felgate have been talking about, is that in Sydney, there's no interest in the Caulfield Cup. It's all around the Everest. Whereas if there was no Everest, even the Sydney media would be focusing on down here the Caulfield Cup as one of the great races of the year on the racing calendar.
The jockey challenge might be a little bit tricky on Saturday.
Well, no, you know what's happened?
Not for some.
You weren't here with us on Monday. Oh, there's a disqualification. There's been a first time ever disqualification for your man for jumping the queue. First time ever.
You know what?
Disqualified.
It's wrong, but I'm happy. I still think I'll win anyway.
Well, you might. You probably will.
Yeah.
But you'll go with the disgrace of being disqualified.
Daniel finds me so threatening.
Who was the winning jockey?
To take a point off me.
Well, it was Kieran McAvoy, and I was about to.
Scott, your turn. Yeah, correct.
And then he goes, "All right, okay, I'm going to pull rank, and now I'm going to go Kieran McAvoy."
Yeah, so disappointed. Got
Daniel did it to me the week before. I did the next week,
and then I did Mark Zara, who nearly won. So I basically
won twice. Jockey challenge. His can.
No, it's not.
Couldn't agree
Absolutely
more.
Not. It's
couldn't agree more.
It's an exciting development.
It's a shocking development.
It's because you went with Darren Gauchy. It's not our fault, to be fair, your knowledge
I
of this stuff.
Can.
What do you want to go with?
The five members, we take a vote, and that's what
we do.
What
do you want to change it to? Kentuckys or something?
Kentuckys. A couple of horses, yeah. The way they
bullocking
their way through, yeah.
It's a very open Caulfield Cup. That would be my final statement on the... If you like Finch, $6, but the rest, it's $8, $9, and then value everywhere.
Value is a good thing.
It's the first four race I've ever seen one. Load up, make a squillion.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Because two plonkers will run third and fourth.
As
that would be my expert assessment of the race.
As can sometimes happen. By the way, just on your award-winning article, The Drifter. In the paper through the Sprint Carnival, which we love here.
A name change.
Was it a name change? No, it was Joe Punter.
There was some issue in between
Don't tell me
it's
going to be through the
Sprint. No, it'll be Drifter. Joe Punter was an old moniker that sort of crept in. And
the Drifter
suits
you.
Yeah, we'll be putting it back to the Drifter. That was
an
error at production.
Well, I'm surprised that happens.
Because it once was Joe Punter, but then Nick Quinn ruined that because he sort of took it over for a little bit while I had other things and completely ruined it.
The cartoon character drawing of you.
Smoking money.
Yeah, I quite like
that's
that.
Me. Yeah, that.
You got a bigger, beer, you got a bigger picture of that at home?
No, I should get the life-size cartoon cutout.
Yeah.
No, we'll be back. Drifter's back, Daniel. I know that hurt you. It'll be okay.
It hurt me. Joe Punter. Who's Joe Punter? I need the Drifter with mentions of the Freckler.
Well, it was very RSM based, given Peter Snowden's Hall of Fame effort on Friday.
You got anything for us today, Maui Cup Day? You'd have something for us. You've always got something at Maui Cup Day.
I've been to Maui once. It's a long way.
Did you know they've been waiting 12 months for this, Maui Cup?
Don't they have two or three goes at it during the year? I would suggest to you, now that I'm looking at it, that... Bondiga, good odds, good horse. Kieran Maher, former Darren Weir. No, it's an open affair.
Good luck today for getting involved at the Moa Cup. They've been waiting about 12 minutes for it. Scotty, nice to see you as always.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Look forward to catching up very soon. Scott Gullen with us from the Herald Sun with all the latest footy and racing news ahead of the Caulfield Cup weekend, of course, post-trade period as well in the AFL. We'll get to a break. We'll continue the discussion about the AFL after this. Sam Power from the Western Bulldogs, the premiers, according to Scotty Gullen, in 2020, will be joining us on The Breakfast Club.